Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus. Amen. The word of God we're going to look at today is a very familiar story in the Bible, I'm sure to all of us, the 12-year-old Jesus in the temple. Have you ever put yourself in the sandals of Mary and Joseph, or has it ever happened to you that you were out someplace and you couldn't find one of your children? You know, not being able to find Joshua in our backyard, it was a little panicky because we didn't know if he walked out front, if he decided to go down the street and hide in someone else's yard. It was a scary situation. And I know parents who have been, you know, at shopping malls, and all of a sudden they turned around and they couldn't find their child. It's a panicky situation. Well, that's what happened to Mary and Joseph. They were on their way back to Nazareth from Jerusalem. They had gone there for the Passover, and they were traveling with a group of people, and it got to be dinner time. They were going to stop for the night, and they couldn't find Jesus. And they looked among all their people, asked everybody who was there. Nobody had seen Jesus. The last time anyone had seen Jesus was when they were back in Jerusalem in the temple. So what did Mary and Joseph do? Same thing we would do. They turned around and they went straight back to find Jesus. They were afraid. They were upset. They were panicked. And they went to Jesus and they got a little, short with him and asked, "Why did you treat us this way?" And Jesus simply said, "Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" Just a very familiar story to all of us. I often wonder what Mary and Joseph's discussion was on the way back. I don't know, well, you were supposed to be watching. Well, no, I thought you watched it. Well, don't you know? You know, just all panicked and upset and accusing each other, and you can imagine the relief when they found Jesus. I think there's some really good lessons that we can learn from this story of the 12-year-old Jesus in the temple. And some good applications we can make to our own life. But as we look at this, it's just keep in mind that we really don't know a whole lot about the childhood of Jesus. You know, after Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph stayed in Bethlehem probably for at least 2 years. Joseph probably was working jobs as a carpenter, signed on at a carpenter shop. I often wonder if Mary and Joseph had actually decided to stay in Nazareth or in Bethlehem and actually live there. But all of that changed with the visit of the wise men, right? You know, the wise men from the east came and they stopped in the temple. They asked the teachers of the word in the temple where Jesus was supposed to be born. And they said in Bethlehem of Bethlehem of Judea. And then they went to visit Jesus. They went back home, and an angel came and warned Joseph in a dream, saying, take the baby to Egypt. And the reason was quite obvious, because Herod was so upset about a newborn king of the Jews that he ordered all the babies in Bethlehem 2 years old and under to be killed. It's called the slaughter of the innocents. And they stayed down in Egypt until Herod died. And then the Bible says they came back to Bethlehem. And again, it seems like they were going to stay there until God told, they realized that Herod's son Archelaus was now ruling, and he was just as bad as his father. So they decided the best thing for them to do was go back to their hometown and go to Nazareth in Galilee. Jesus may be, 5 or 6? between that time and when Jesus turns 30, we hear nothing about the life of Jesus except this one story when he was 12. The entire childhood of Jesus then is summed up with the words, he went down to Nazareth with them, was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. That's it. He went to Nazareth, was obedient to his parents, grew in wisdom and stature. We hear nothing more till he was 30. But you wonder, why did God inspire the evangelist Luke to record this one story when Jesus was 12 years old? I think there's a number of reasons. First of all, when a Jewish child was 12 years old, that they call it today the bar mitzvah, so he became an adult member of the synagogue. And that's undoubtedly what Jesus did. And as a 12-year-old, he was now supposed to take his place in the temple, and he was supposed to go to all the festivals in Jerusalem, the Passover, the Feast of Tabernacles, and Pentecost. And we're told he did that. We're also told that his parents, it was their custom to go to the Passover every year. And it was no small task. Nazareth was about 90 miles from Jerusalem. The journey took 4 days, and they had to walk. So it was like walking from Milwaukee to Chicago. I don't know anybody who walked from Milwaukee to St. Andrews to come for Christmas or Easter services, right? I don't know anybody who's ever done that. But that's what they did. And the city of Jerusalem had about 50,000 people. But on the Passover, there were often as many as 3 million people in Jerusalem because everybody came. And when the Passover was over, Mary and Joseph went home. And I really think we should kind of get Mary and Joseph off the hook a little bit. I know people often talk about maybe they were neglectful parents and how could they possibly do that. But keep in mind that Jesus was not a toddler. He wasn't a 3 or 4 year old, he was 12. So he was like a 7th grader today. And I've often thought about this, and so let's say you have a 12-year-old 7th grader, and after lunch he says to you, I'm going to take my bike over to my friend's house. Okay? When are you going to start to wonder, when are you going to start to look for him? When he doesn't come home for supper, right? When he doesn't come home for dinner, that's when you're going to start looking. That's exactly what happened. They thought Jesus was probably with his friends or relatives, cousins, whatever, which would have been normal, right? And then when they stopped for the night, they couldn't find him. So they turned around, and a day's journey, they were probably about 20 miles out. And they turned around, and they went right back and walked the 20 miles back. And it says they searched for him for three days. He was missing 3 days. You know, one day to go 20 miles out, you know, another day or so to get to go back to Jerusalem. And then people have also said, well, why didn't they go to the temple and look there first? And it's Jesus, right? Where else would you expect to find him? Well, keep in mind, it wasn't like coming into St. Andrews and looking around the church to see if your 12-year-old is here. It would be like losing your child in a huge mall. The temple and its courts were huge. And then they found Jesus. And where was he? He was sitting with the teachers of the law, listening to them and asking them questions. So what can we learn from this story? Now, I think there's a number of things. First of all, the importance of regular church and Bible class attendance. They went to the Passover, Tabernacles, Pentecost every year. And they went 90 miles each way on foot. Later on, in the ministry of Jesus, it says a couple times in the Bible that Jesus was in the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. So what had Jesus learned as he was growing up? Probably as an example from his parents, right? They went to church every Sabbath day. They went to the synagogue every Saturday. And they went to those festivals three times a year. Just a wonderful example, isn't it? The other thing it says is Jesus was obedient to his parents. That's a good lesson too, isn't it? But who were Jesus' parents? Well, he was obedient to Mary and Joseph, but because they found him in the temple courts, and what he said to them, "Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" That's God, right? And it's also translated, in some of you, from the old King James, "about my Father's business," right? So he wasn't only obedient to his parents, he was also obedient to his Heavenly Father and was doing his Heavenly Father's work. Okay, and aren't those just wonderful examples for us? To be in God's house, to be obedient to our parents and our Heavenly Father, and to be about God's work. And I really believe that's the best application for us to use here. You know, a lot of times the application of this story is, you know, don't leave Jesus behind, right? You know, it's Christmas and everybody celebrated the birth of Jesus, and then after Christmas, what do people do? A lot of people just kind of forget about Jesus, maybe till Easter. And that may have been a good application on Christmas Eve, you know, when honestly we had quite a few people who were here in church that we probably won't see till Easter and our next Christmas. But I don't think it's a very good application for you, because we're here 2 days after Christmas, and where are you? You know, you're in church worshiping your Savior. But the other three things, I think each one of us as God's children can take home with us. Mary and Joseph set a wonderful example for Jesus and their other children by going to the synagogue every Sabbath, in addition to celebrating the festivals. What a wonderful example for us as parents to set that example for our children and our grandchildren. And Jesus was obedient, not only to his parents, but to his Heavenly Father. And again, what a wonderful example for us to set, to not only be obedient to parents, but also to be obedient to our Heavenly Father. That's an example God wants us to set too. Now, Jesus said, "Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works, glorify your Father in heaven." That's why we're obedient to God. And then also to be about our Heavenly Father's work. And that means serving him in his kingdom, supporting his work, and telling others about Jesus. So as our Christmas celebration is winding down, can you take those three thoughts home with you today? Regular worship and Bible class attendance, obedience to your Heavenly Father, and being about your Heavenly Father's work. That's the message.